So now we start with the worship of the Lord, the external items, after doing the Manasapuja. So this is the point at which Ija and Yoga separate. External items. Then with after doing the Manasapuja for this main deity, Radhan Krishna, and then doing the establishing the Vishesha Arya, and then worshipping the Lord's seat. Then at that point, then begin the external puja. So now it turns into Ija. That means any worship that has been done before of Guru and Gauranga, that is yoga. And it has to be done with separate paraphernalia. It cannot be done with the same paraphernalia that you're now going to worship the Lord with in Ija. This is a very important point. Like that. Because one is the preparation, and now this is what you're actually preparing everything for, is just this worship. Right? So at this point now, having taken the blessings of the spiritual master, assisting him, worshipping the spiritual master, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, now all the articles from now on will be offered to Radha Krishna. So then this goes through the same items now can be put off to the Lord. Going through the 16 asana, swagata, padya, argya, achmanika, madhuparka, punar ashman, and then snan. So snan, then at this point, is now we're dealing with the deity, then there's murti shuddhi. Remember we discussed before about the six kinds of cleanliness. But there's cleanliness of ourself, the body, the atma shuddhi. Then there's the cleanliness of the mind, which we've just done in yoga, chitta shuddhi, the consciousness. Then the dravya shuddhi, which we did in the purvanga karma, we purified that, and we, before starting, polished everything. Then we have the sthan shuddhi, place. We clean the place, we're going to do the puja, the deity room, and that. That includes, you know, down, up, everything. It's not that only the floor, you should see up that it's clean also. And then mantra shuddhi, mantra is kept pure, following the proper, you know, regulative principles in connection with chanting the mantras and in the lifestyle, that keeps the mantra pure. And this is the final one, murti shuddhi, keeping the deity clean. So at this point, then we take off all the, chandan and everything else like that. You have a different cloth and you take all these things off, any extra kind of things. Then after that, and then they will be put in the gamshas for wearing. Either put them in the gamsha or that, or offer angavastra with achman cup from the water. Then we offer the shoes in a paduke. And then we bring them to the bath water. Then we massage with oil to get the tilam. Then if they're astadatu or panchalabha, then means metal deities, then at that time then you polish them. The gopi chandan paste and lemon or almond paste also works very nicely. Then you rub that on the bodies and then wipe it off and put a little bit of water and clean that all off. Then you start the snan. One can also use here, like on the main big abhishekas, the sesame paste that also has also a little bit of a polishing effect. You can put the sesame paste on, rub it on very nicely, and rinse it off with sesame water and then plain water. And then you start the main bath. So the main bath, then we're pouring water from the conch shell. Then at least three times you want to pour from there, fill up the conch at least three times. And during that time, you chant the prayers, this Chittamani Prakarathad Mashu Kalpavaksha. Now, if the deities are generally the deities that will be bathed, the Uttamurtis will always be metal. Because then you can properly bathe them. If they're made of wood or marble, And generally, small deities will not be made of marble. The stone deities are always big and not made of marble, so you don't move them. But if you want to move them, then you need to have metal deities. If you happen to have wood, then you perform the bath by meditation. The best of them. One is you just pour the water in front of them. You don't see the deity through the water. But that's weak at the effect. Like that. And by that mental service, the Lord accepts that. But a little more developed than that is you have a mirror. Some nice mirror. Or a very highly polished silver plate. And you hold that in front of the deities on the bathing tray. So that the deities can see themselves reflected in the water. Right? Then you pour the water on that mirror. So then they see themselves being bathed. Like that. So that's a little bit more elaborate, but more, a little bit more pleasing for the deity. That's how they do in Jagannath Puri for Jagannath. Because they don't bathe. If the deities wouldn't don't bathe, they once a year you can bathe, but not daily. Like that. Okay. And then chant the Chintamani, at least the first three verses like that, whatever. Then you dry them with the cloth, itamangavastram, that is your towels like that, you'll dry them, and then offer ashman. Because after bathing, one always gargles like that, because, you know, it's the proper. The places, different smells, so many different things are there in the places where you bathe and all this. And then this proper thing is afterwards, you gargle and spit that water out. Like that. And, you know, for ourselves, for the deity, that is done by offering achman. So achman both means gargling and just the sipping of the water. So it can mean both the gross and the subtle cleaning of the mouth. Like that. So in South, they differentiate between this. In the Pancharatra, it also gives that either you just use Achman for both, or then they use Gandusham, meaning where you clean the mouth like that. They're both technically Achman. It's just the nature of how they're done. And after that is Vastra. We offer the clothes. The clothes and the Upavita, the Brahman thread, Krishna. Then after that, then Achman, and then Tilak. Then, and put all these different, if the deity needs to, you put Tilak on, and you put it on at that time. It's put in here, or if the main deity is the Shila, or Govardhan, like that, then at this time you could paint the face. And then kumkum is offered to Srimati Radharani. Idam kumkumam. And then ashmityam. Then bharanam is the different kinds of jewels and ornaments. And offer a comb for the hair, kangsanam. Then properly comb the hair and fix the hair and everything like that. And decorate. Then after that, Gandha will be sandalwood paste, like either plain or mixed with scents and things like that. Then over the, that'll be off the feet, the hands, the head, like this, whatever is depending on the season. If it's in the summer, Krishna is not wearing a shirt, you can put more on the body. If not, then just on his feet or on his head, like that. Nice designs and things like that. And pushpa. Etani pushpani, pushpani idam etat 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 Asha pushpam. Asha pushpam. Etani pushpani means many kinds of flowers. Like that. It may be, well, I think it's idam pushpam. That. And then tat tulasi patram. Etani tulasi patrani. Like if you're offering a lot of different kinds of leaves or garlands and leaves and like this. So pushpam is, you know, just is saying flowers. You know, flowers just the, like the, and pushpani means many kinds of flowers. You know, many garlands and all the different things like that. Or you can mention the garland is called malye, if it's one, or malyani, if there's many, like that. And then those can be offered. You can also offer the garlands after eating, like that. It just depends upon what's convenient, or both, some before, some after, like that. Then is dhūpa, is offering incense, deep. Then is offering lamps, and naivedya. So so the simplest here is you wash the feet, etatapadyam, yamachaniyam, because one will do achman, one will clean the mouth, wash the feet before eating. That's considered proper. That's the culture. We see even Krishna follows these. Many times you say, oh, this is fanatic and all this, but sometimes we have to accept that Krishna's a fanatic. You know? We say, well, this is not the Braja movement, but this is what Krishna does before they eat. He washes his feet. You know, washes his hands, you know, because you've been walking so many places, you've been touching so many things, so it's natural. And for oneself, not care, but at least for the bhikshatam, that you're clean, hands are clean, so touching bhikshatam with dirty hands, and opening it to dirty mouth, you know, like that. So it's the hands, mouth, feet are washed beforehand. Then, idam naivedyam, offering the naivedya, idam paniyam. Paniyam is kinds of some drinks, either drinking water or some kind of drink that you prepared, like that. It just means liquid. It doesn't specifically means water. That's jala. Sanskrit is jala is water. But paniyam means liquid, like that. So maybe any kind of drink. That's a drink, something that you take with the meal. Then. And then after that, we start the offering, the prayers to the spiritual master, Namah Om Vishnu Padaya. And then Namah Mahavahanyaya. No, yeah. And then Namah Brahmani Devaya. Then chant Gayatri. And after chanting Gayatri, then wash the hands and mouth, Hastamukha Prakshalana. Hatamukha Pakshalanam Jalam. Water for that. Then Padyam Akshaniyam. So you always wash the hands first, then the mouth, then the feet. Or here it's Achman, so it'll be after, but here they wash the hands mouth, Hastamukha Pakshalanam, and the feet. Because the hands are first, because you can't wash your mouth with dirty hands, so you gotta wash your hands first. If you rinse the mouth, like that, and then just a quick rinse on the hands. Then the feet. Because when you wash the hands are generally higher than the feet, so the water sprinkles down in the feet. Then you wash the feet. Important. Otherwise, you see many times devotees come, they wash their feet, then they wash their hands, and then the water everything splashes on the feet again. Like that. So you have to, your hands, your mouth, then your feet. The hast mukha prakshalanam, then padya. So like that. That's the order. Then after Achman, then again at this time, one could offer garlands, then Mukha Vasham, also Gandha. Gandha and Malya could be offered at this time. Then Yam Mukha Vasham, is the Mukha Vasha, is the, mouth freshener. They'd be the, spices. And then Tambulam is pan, like that. Idam tambulam. Then idam sarva means anything, additional things, whatever, anything that you can think of, or whatever, just all nice things. Idam sarvam just means whatever may be there. Then, so this goes, takes us to 15 items. And that's the main part of the puja. That's the central part of the puja, of the 16 items. Then the last, the pranam, the 16th act, that's like the concluding activities of the puja. Just like the purvanta kapamas, the yotra was the preliminary that brings you to the point of being able to be on a proper spiritual level, spiritual consciousness to perform the puja. Now the pranam, the concluding activities, this is to reinforce all those fine points that were done in the purvanta karma. Whereas in the Vedic system, they always have this basic, this principle, what's called sampat. Sampat, where you have, like you have om in the beginning, then you have the mantra, and the om at the end. So the whatever is important is in the middle between these two. So by following that process, then the beginning, the first om is for the purpose of developing the proper mentality, or proper understanding of the mantras that will be chanted or the lesson that will be learned. Just like we do kirtan before we start class. That's so that we have the mind becomes purified, and by that service and purification, then we have greater qualification for understanding what we can do here. Right? Then, after that, then when we finish the main, then there's kirtan or some kind of holy name is at the end. And then that closes it. So you won't forget what you've learned. Yeah, you steal it, yeah. It doesn't get out. So in the beginning and the end, so what's in the middle gets protected. This is a Vedic principle of study, of learning, of performing activities like this. So they always have their preliminary activity to conclude it. Like in the yagi, you have the kushatika, opening the fire. Udichakarma is where you're closing. So that includes all the worship of the devotees and all these kind of things. It's all in the udichakarma. It's quite long. Sometimes it's longer than the yagya. That's all for getting the blessings of the devotees and all this. So that in the beginning we take their blessings that we can perform it, and at the end we take that we may properly maintain the proper attitudes and like this. So now here, in this, then it has many, many sections, the pranam, that are, you know, fairly standard aspects. You see it in puja and yagya and different aspects of dealings, that these all have to be there. So the first with the pranam is chanting of mantras, like Gayatri, Japa, Pal Mantra, Gayatri, like that. These things are done for the Lord. Then after that, we worship the Lord's paraphernalia, his personal paraphernalia. So for Krishna, then we offer Ganda and Pushpa to his flute, Tri Mukha Vena Namaha. Then to his garland, the Vanamala, Om Vakshasi Vanamalayai Namaha. Then we worship Sri Vatsa, Dakshasthan Ordhe, Sri Vatsaka Namaha. And then we worship Kastubha. Om Sivya, Stan Ordhe, Kastubhaya Namaha. Means on the right and on the left. This is the time when they should have done the mudras. We can also show these mudras to Krishna. Sri Vatsa, Kastubha, Bhova, Vanamala, and Venu. These five mudras Krishna likes. Mudra means pleased. So these mudras can be offered, shown at this time. So you worship this paraphernalia, because he's always with us. He always has a flute, he always has a vanamala, he's always, the Sri Vatsa is there, and the Kastubha. So Sri Vatsa is Lakshmi, Kastubha is all the jivas, all the living entities. Kastubha is in the shape of an emerald, in the shape of a cow. So he always wears that. And that's all the jivas. So he always keeps the jivas and Lakshmi, the internal potency and the living entities, right next to his heart. Then he has his flute and his vanamala. that after worshiping his paraphernalia, personal paraphernalia, then one worships the associates. So here then he's giving Lalitadi Shakibhyo Namaha, then Nanda Jashodadi Bhyo Namaha, Nanda Jashoda, and all the elders. Then Sri Subalati Mitre Dho, that means all of Krishna's friends, headed by Subal. Then we have Vatsago Vishvavanya Mriga Pakshibhyo Namaha. And this is for the calves, cows, bulls, forest animals, and birds of Vrindavan. Then, Vatso will be the calves, go will be the cows, Vrishabha will be the bulls, Vanya will be the forests, Mriga will be the deers and other animals, Pakshibhyo, and then all the birds. Then after that, we worship the all the residents, Sarva Vrajavasi Bhyo Namaha. Then after that, then the demigods who also come to watch all these things, Brahmadi Devi Bhyo Namaha. And then Sarva Vaishnava Bhyo Namaha, all the Vaishnavas, Sarva Vaishnavi Bhyo Namaha. So that's all the Lord's devotees. Then after that, we offer the Mahaprasad of the Lord to the devotees. So then here, we offer to the Guru, we bring whatever is there, some Naivedya. Mahaprasad will be like the chandan, the chayanamrita, flowers, anything that's left over from the puja that's been offered. That will be offered to the spiritual master. Itam Mahaprasadam Nirmalyadikam. Nirmalya means Mahaprasad Nirmalya. Nirmalya means what's already been offered to the Lord. So Malya, it gently means things that are, you know, discarded, that are, it's not clean like that. But here this is called Nirmalya. Even though it's discarded, it's pure. It's not dirty. So it's very interesting. Nirmalya, it means uncontaminated. It's offered, the prasad of the Lord. So Mahaprasadam Nirmalya Adikam. Then you offer to the Guru. And then after that, then you offer to Lord Chaitanya. Then here to Radha and Krishna, Sarva Rajavasi Bhyo. Then Sarva Vaishnava Bhyo. Like that. Then at this point, you can offer additional paraphernalia as it mentions in the 64 items. You can put some other things on at this time of the deities. Offering flowers, other ornaments, kanta, anything like that. Different things that can be offered at this time, if it wants. But otherwise, we've done everything before. The Sarvam will also take care of that. Then, we have stuti. Stuti means we're offering prayers that are stuti and stapa. Some opinions are stuti means prayers of the acharyas, and stava means their own prayers. And some say stava is the prayers of the acharyas, stuti is the own. But in here, we're using stuti means the acharyas, and then stava is your own, like Rupa Goswami writes, stava maha. So it's his own prayers. So for us, they're stuti. For him, they're stava. They basically both mean the same, just offering prayers. So then we offer to Radha and Krishna this. Bhakti Vinod Thakur recommends the Patya Panchaka and Vidyapti Panchaka. These two for worship to Radha and Krishna specifically. Samsara Sagaran Natha Kuta Mitra Dinagnat Koparao Me Yovan Eva Praptan Daya Bhayanjana. Radha and Krishna are my protectors from the ocean of material existence, which is filled with sons, friends, household, and land. Therefore, you are known as the destroyers of fear for those surrendered unto you. Yoham asti yat kunchu ihaloke ratracha tasaravam bhavato dhyaiva O your lordships, myself and whatever little bit is mine in this world and in the next, all this I now offer unto your lotus feet. Aham apyaparadhanam arayasht desadhanan agatis chatato natao bhavantao me paragati. O your lordships, I am certainly the abode of many offenses and am completely devoid of any devotional practices. Nor do I have any resort or shelter. Therefore, I regard you as my ultimate goal. And tavasmi radhika nata karmana manasagira krishna kante tvai vasmi yuyam eva gatir mama sharanam vam prapannosmi karuna nikrakarao prasadam kuru vadasyam bho mai dushte paradhini. I am yours, O Lord of Srimati Radharani, as are my actions, mind, and words. O Srimati Radharani, lover of Sri Krishna, I belong to you alone. O Radha Krishna, O ocean of mercy, you are my only shelter, and thus I take shelter of you. Although I am such a fallen offender, please be merciful to me and make me your servant. Then the Gyakti Panchaka, Patsmo Nasi Papa. Papatma na paradhi chakashchana parihare pi lajjame kimbrve purushottama yuvatinam yatha yoni yuyam cha yu yatau yatha mano bhiramate tadvan mano me raptam tvai. O purushottama, no sinner or offender is as bad as I am. How can I describe my shame? Just as the minds of young ladies take pleasure in a young man, and the minds of young men take pleasure in a young woman, kindly let my mind take pleasure in you alone. Bhumau skalita padanam bhumir eva vlambanam twai jata paradhanam tvam eva shatanam prabhu prabho. Just as the ground is the only support for those whose feet have slipped, you alone are the only shelter for those who have offended you. Govinda valabhe radhe prataye tvam aham sada tatiyam iti janatu govindo am tvaya saha. O Srimati Radharani, beloved of Lord Govinda, this is my request. May you and Lord Govinda consider me one of your assistants. Radhe vrindavanadishe karunamrita bahini kripaya nijapadabja dasyam mahyam padiyatam. O Srimati Radharani, O Queen of Vrindavan, you are a river flowing with the nectar of mercy. Please be kind to me and give me a little service at your lotus feet. So these are nice prayers. These are Bhaktivinoda Thakur's recommended. So we're seeing that whatever we have belongs to the Lord. The Lord is our maintainer, the Lord is our protector, and he is our only shelter. And we being fallen, we recognize that, and we offer ourselves to the Lord as his only shelter. Sometimes we may think, I'm so fallen, this and that, let me go away. Where do you go? I'll go away. I won't need to go away from the temples, the devotees, and the deities. I won't bother anybody. But that means we're not understanding the philosophy. We think we're very intelligent. Oh, I understand how fallen and this and that. So intelligent that I know a place I can go where there's no Krishna. Right? The whole material world is Krishna's energy, expanding from him. It's all for his purpose. I'll find a place where I won't bother Krishna because Krishna's not there. Right? So the whole point is we're understanding this and that Krishna's our only shelter. As the Pandita mentions, is just as the ground is the only shelter for someone whose feet have slipped. Because you slipped on the ground, but the only shelter is the ground itself. Right? It's not that you slip on the ground and you float in the air. Like that. So even we are not performing service properly, our only shelter still is Krishna. It's nothing, there's no one else. Because whatever we deal with, we're only dealing with Krishna. There's not something else. Like that. All there is Krishna. So whatever we're doing means we're dealing with Krishna. So these are very nice prayers that we see whatever we have, then we offer ourselves whatever we have to the Lord. So here's in the prayers. Then this is brought out more in the offering our one's activities to the Lord, karma samarpana. So we offer all of our activities, whatever we've done. Itapuram buddhi dharmadika karato jagrat swapna shushupityavastasu manasa vachakarvana hastabhyam bhadbhyam udharena chishna yat smritam yat uptam yat kritam tat sarvam shri krishnarpanam bhavatu swaha mam madhyam chakshakalam harate samparpayami om tat sat. As a living entity endowed with life, intelligence, body, and power to discriminate between right and wrong, I offer Krishna whatever I have thought with my mind, spoken with my words, and performed with my hands, feet, stomach, and genitals, while awake, sleep, or in deep sleep. I offer myself and everything I have to the Lord. In other words, anything we've done, we offer. So then, this also then one has to think about all the things one said, eaten, you know, always been awake, asleep, all these different things. One has to consider all this. Because whatever one does is supposed to be an offering to the Lord. It's supposed to be for the Lord's service. So whatever one...
It's not perfect.
Well, where else? What else will you do with it?
I mean, so if you have some crazy dream or...
Like that. That's why it mentions here. It means... Endowed with life, intelligence, body, and the power to discriminate between right and wrong. It means whatever we're trying to do in the proper way, we offer that. So by doing this, then you start to think how much of what I've done is actually offerable. Then you start to think maybe I should improve the quality of my activities, you know, my mind, words, and like that. Set the purpose of these things. You actually stop and think, because the whole day goes by, or the whole puja goes by, and like that, you know, and then you just think, yeah, okay, another day gone. You think about it. What did I do today? Okay, I chanted a few rounds, and you know, didn't read, and I went over there and did this, and well, I had lunch, and I took a nap afterwards, and you know, did a little this and that, and then you think, well, maybe I should do a little better tomorrow. You know? So it really makes you think about because when you have to offer it, then that's automatically the first thing that comes to mind. Is it actually offerable? So that's the whole point. Pancharatra is to always increase. If we were on the Brahma Bhuta platform, then there would be no negative aspects. There might be neutral aspects. You know, we don't think about Maya or think about like that, but we may not be thinking much of Krishna. But even then, then still one offers everything to the Lord, and then one sees that, you know, that there's some spaces where one can think of the Lord more. But the Pancharatrik system is specifically for those who are embodied, who have a tendency towards sinful activities. It means we're not on the Brahma Bhuta platform like that. So what it does is it regulates everything, and then it has these regular things, offering in the puja before you take rest at night. You offer all your activities to the Lord. And then, in doing that, then you start to think about, well, maybe I should improve the quality. You know, or, you know, do something like that. Does that make some sense? It's an important part. So the Pancharatra is very practical like that to get us to engage ourselves. And see that we're engaged and get us to think about what we've done. About our engagement. Like that. That's karma samarpana, our activities. Then is atma samarpana, where we offer ourselves. Aham bhagavato smi, aham bhagavato so smi, sada daso smi sarvata. Tat kripa pechato nityam, ityatmanam samarpaye. O Lord, I offer myself to you in full surrender, always praying for your mercy and considering myself eternally part and parcel of you. This is where we offer the self. So it's karma samarpana, atma samarpana. All both of these things we do. then whatever we feel has been, you know, improper in our offenses, you know, proper, you know, mantras and tantras and puranadis, all these kind of things, then we have begging for forgiveness, aparada shodhanam. So angahinam krihahinam dehinam tayat havet astutat sarva achidram krishna kakshna prasadadha yat kinchit vaigunam jatam tad dosha prasamana prasamasya. Shri Krishna smarana karomi. The mercy of Krishna and its devotees nullify all the mistakes we have made in our observance of the rules of worship and in our performance of the acts of worship. I now remember Krishna to nullify whatever faults there may be. It's from the Satriya Sandipika. This is Gopal Bhatta Goswami's mantra. So, like this, there's so many mantras for begging forgiveness. So this one was chosen because it's given, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave this. And its emphasis means by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, and by remembering the Lord, then these offenses can be removed. Otherwise, not. So that's the essential point of this. So one always is asking for any mistakes, never considers everything is perfect. He always asks for begging for forgiveness. So then, Darshan Artik would be the next thing. So basically, all these things we're talking about here are being done for the small deities or for the Shalagram or Govardhan, whoever's your small deities are accepting worship on behalf of the big deities. Like generally, the large deities are busy dressing them and then, you know, after that. But all devotees can do these things. Specifically, the one who's worshipping the small Utsavgatis, then they should try to do all this. Then you have the Darshan Artik. So before the Darshan Artik, clear away whatever doesn't belong there, put everything in place, make sure everything's there, you know, the Krishna's got his flute, and, you know, the crown's on, and, you know, things like that. Take all the extra clothes and jewels off the altar, put the tulsi back, sweep the floor, clean the altar. You know, if you have standing lamps, get them there and wash your hands and everything. And then, you know, show the mirror this time or hold you open, like that. And then you can do a dupartik, incense flowers and chamra. Or just have some incense burning in that, and then offer some lamps. Like that. Then after a circumambulation of the deities, one goes around, pradakshina. So three times should be done. And, how you say? And in Chaturmasya, then generally one does four. And extra yops increase the service during the Chaturmasya. Like that. So three times, yeah, in respect, but it's also considered that you're going around the universe, woo-woo as well. Obeisances, pranam. So then we can offer... then offering your obeisances, and we can offer prayers to Krishna, obeisances, the spiritual master, Krishna, Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sintu, Tata Kachana, Gaura, Vida, Bhavani. Then we distribute the Nirmalya to the devotees, Nirmalya Grahana, to give to the devotees. And then after that, so that means you're giving what? Charinamrita, any flower garlands, flowers, chandan, scents, anything like that is given out. Everyone then touches the spirit to the head, says Jai Mahaprasadam, and then whatever is a suitable way of accepting it, then you accept that prasad, like that. Hmm. devotees who preferred accepting Charinamrita. And this Sri Radha Krishna Padodaram Prema Bhakti Dham Mudav Bhakti Bhaparena Bhaktitva Chirasha Dharyam Yaham. The water from the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna bestowed pure loving devotion to them. Having drunk that water with great joy and devotion, I hold that water upon my head. So if it's just water, like the Charinamrita is, it's simply water, like that, then you can sip that water. You can just wipe on the head or wash the hand, and then that water is wiped on the head. But if you Charinamrita is a little bit, you know, you have yogurt or other things like that, or, you know, sometimes they mix it in Shri Khand, or, you know, all kinds of things. It's no question. Three drops means technically three drops, so it falls out of a very large spoon. You know, it's like Charinamrita is like meal in itself, seen in some temples. So, like that. After that, definitely one washes the hand. But that water that's on the hand is wiped on the back of the head.
Charinamrita? For example, what I say that when it's Charinamrita, we sweep whatever.
You can wipe the hand directly on the back of the head, as long as it's not yogurt and all kinds of other things like that. If it's plain water, Charinamrita.
If you say what's wrong?
Well, then you got all this stuff in your stika.
It's purified.
Yeah, but it also attracts bugs and ants and looks funny. Globs of Shri Khand and Sika and sweet guys. And so generally what it is after you wash the hand and the water that's on the hand is still wet, that we wipe on the head. But that still is that pure water. Like that. It's just simple, then you can do it on the head. But otherwise then it's it's very, very light yogurt like that. It's fine. But some people, it's not light. They take yogurt and put a few drops of Charinamrita in it. Right. Like that. But generally, it's the yogurt from the bathing. That's what it, you know, like that. You put a little bit of yogurt in there. Like that. So it's light. You pour it in the hand and it goes very nicely. I remember in New York, they used to put shriek on like that. The boys would line up, you know. Like that, and each one would definitely take their time. They had this huge ladle, you know, because otherwise no spoon was big enough that any would fall off. You know, you had a small spoon, it would just stick to the spoon. And then it says, according to the rules, must take three drops. Just three drops means three drops, you know, like drops of water. But here, because it only comes off in, you know, like 50 gram bobs, and they would each devotee would very carefully take three of those according to the rules, Prabhu, like that. So that was, you know, a highlight of the morning for many devotees. And the line is, Charinamrita, you have 20 devotees that eat it for like 5 minutes, you know, each one. I don't know if they still do that. I don't think so. That was when I visited there. What year was that? It would have been 74 when I saw that. This movie that's not happening anymore. Okay. Then, yeah. So then throughout the day, so then the next is throughout the day, then we have all these different kinds of offerings and all that go on, the different boga offerings, the different artiks, putting the deities to rest, noontime waking them up, then evening, and then again putting to rest. So we'll go through the, I mean, if there's any questions, we'll go through that. Yes.
Question was in the beginning about the tilak we're putting on the bidi. I noticed in different temples Radharani is wearing sometimes tilak, sometimes she doesn't wear. But I wanted to ask you why Radharani does not wear the food. I forgot. I heard a long time ago.
Generally, she only wears the red dot. She doesn't even wear the tilak. She doesn't wear the food of a pundra, not on the head.
You know, why is that?
It's just what she wears. Because the word of pundra is Krishna's tilak. She just wears the red dot. Because that's the good fortune and all that. It's a sign of Lakshmi. You know, that's the ladies wear the dot here. And they follow the culture nicely, then they're like Lakshmi in the home. It means when the wife is, follows the proper culture and all that, then the whole house becomes, how do you say, auspicious, it flourishes, everything happens. So when the wife is like that, then the whole house becomes everything auspicious for the husband, for the children, for everything, for the relatives. It means one good woman can make the whole family become opulent, and one bad one can destroy the whole family.
He goes on, this is a different example. I have, for example, Ramanujacharya, the men wear this huge tilak, but the lady just went riding like this with a dog, or with another small kind of dog. But yeah, before well, Sampradaya, ladies and men wear both same tilak.
Yeah, because it's not... Yeah, because the emphasis there is that the Vaikuntha worship, and you have very much the idea of the husband and wife serving Vaikuntha Pati together. So that becomes, that flavors very much their style of worship. While for us, then, it's not specifically that, because there everyone is on reverence. So it's basically the same food like that. But for us, then it may be in any of the five rasas. So who the husband is, who the wife is, and this and that, maybe have nothing to do with. They don't necessarily be husband and wife. You know, while Vaikuntha has every chance that they can be like that. So it's not a problem. That, so for us, and we all wear that tilak. Just the women will wear the red dot also. You know, so this is that auspicious sign of Lakshmi. So in the Ramanuja, then the lines on the outside, the then that is only worn by those who are very strict following things, and only the pujaris and like that. If someone is stricter in pujaris like that, if someone is Sri Vaishnava but not so strict, then they only wear the middle line, which is Lakshmi. And so then the women also just wear that middle line. So it's part of the tilak, so they have the feet and the Lakshmi in the middle. So the women will just wear the Lakshmi part. And even the men who are not like archikas, or they don't follow things very strictly. You know, they're Sri Vaishnavas, they you know, go to the Sri Vaishnavas. Yeah, like this, that. But even they work outside. When we visited Madras in 74, they're going in, I think some of the first ones there to make life members. Then, it was not uncommon to go into a shop, you know, a cloth shop and that, and the guy who sits there and, you know, throws the saris for, you know, looking. You know, it's huge Ramanuja tilak, you know, and with the, you know, big gold earrings and stuff like that, dhotis and like that. It's very common to see someone in a shop looking and the guy running the shop, a big tilak. Now you still see.
Yeah.
Then it is very big, very common. Even then inside the shops so much, but then it was very culture is much stronger. Because the Mughals never made it past Hyderabad.
Right.
So they couldn't disturb the culture there. But in the north it was like all pervading, you know. They made it their business to disturb. They wanted to disturb, but the kings were so strong that they couldn't get past them. So they settled for Hyderabad.
Can you tell how we can, a devotee who is actually worshipping duty, how they can relate to this all thing, how we can meditate, or what kind of part?
It's not a bad part. quite favorable.
How we can feel that part of this worshiping. Usually, of course, that we can some service, offering our service, but how we can see more that we are part of this Pancha.
Well, because we missed the beginnings, you know, is that we went through the whole book. This is the last part we were doing. It's just the actual stija. Before that, we showed all the waking, how one, what one does before one goes to the temple, Adhigamana. So that is waking, offer basis to spiritual, master chanting the Lord's holy name, then, you know, taking our bath, and all the morning ablutions like this, and then are putting our tilak, dress, chanting Gayatri, going to the temple, offering obeisances, offering us to the Lord, like that. And then all the different aspects of serving devotees, serving guests, serving, hearing the scriptures, serving Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and honoring Prasad, worshipping Tulsi, and serving the Dham. So those are out of five parts, main parts of the deity worship, is called Panch Anga Puja. These are the nitya kriyas, or the daily activities. So those two are common. Every devotee does that. Anyone who claims that they're a devotee does these two things. Therefore, we say that the devotees follow the Brahminical culture. This is the essence of the Brahminical culture. And what does these kind of things? It's just devotional service. Devotional service is the culture of those Brahmins who have understood that they're supposed to engage their activities in the Lord's service. Like that. So anyone who understands that, engages their activities in the Lord's service, is automatically a Brahmin. Vaishnava is described as a realized Brahmin. One who knows Brahman and knows how to engage in Krishna's service. So whatever you have, you understand as Brahman and engage in Krishna's service. So that same culture is there. Like that. That basic culture. Then we went through this yoga, where one is approaching the spiritual master, taking blessings from the spiritual master, approaching Lord Chaitanya, taking his blessings, understanding the servant of the spiritual master and serving the Lord. We don't serve directly, like that. So then all those activities every devotee is also doing. You know, no one comes in the temple and offers his obeisance to the spiritual master, then approaches Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna, like this. So that process is there. So that's what yoga is. The pujaris do that. Then, except for the bathing of the deities, which you don't see, all the other activities, offering the artik and all this, then we take part in that by seeing. Those who see get the same benefit as those who perform it. It means the pujari who offer the artik, those who see get the same benefit. Like that. So in this way, then every devotee is very much part of the whole deity worship. You know, a very important aspect of yoga is worship of the guru. So then we all attend guru puja. So we get in all the different aspects. You know, the difference is maybe we don't collect the paraphernalia or bathe the deity, you know, like that. But other than that, all the other aspects we are able to take part in, either by seeing them or we perform all. Because if you just worship the deity and don't do all these other activities, serve the devotees, chant the Lord's holy name and all that, it's not actually deity worship. I mean, it's deity worship, but it's the standard is very low. It may be very opulent and very technical, but the Lord considers it not very wonderful. He doesn't consider it so nice. He mentions that in the third canto to his mother, Kapila Dev. He says, if you worship the deity, but then are disrespectful and rough with all the other living entities, then he's not very pleased by this puja. So we see worked right into the 16 is immediately after chanting the holy name, right, chanting the Gayatris, right? But it's done in that form, Pancharatri, chanting the Gayatris, but it's the holy name. Then worshiping the Lord's paraphernalia. So anything that's connected with Krishna is respected. Then you're worshiping the Lord's devotees. Then you're distributing prasadam to the Lord's devotees and all that. Then we're offering prayers to the Lord. Offering ourselves to the Lord, taking darshan of the Lord, circumambulating the Lord. So all these things can make the worship complete. So that's worked right into the 16th item. Besides that is this whole puja is finished and that must be done more elaborately. Just giving out little charanamrita, that's at least you've done the basic stuff. Like you've just touched on it. So at least you've done that much. But then the real thing is then to properly distribute prasadam, to take prasadam, you know, worship devotees very nicely, then take care of guests, you know, worship Tulsi, do all these different things, do a nice service for the Dham, like that. See, in puja, you're establishing the Lord's seat. That's worship of the Dham. So all these main principles, these five main principles of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the Bodhi, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, and living in the Dham. These are all interwoven. They're the main fundamental principles of the whole process, the whole sadhana bhakti, and the whole pacharatra is based on these five. So if you have those, then it's all, it is deity worship. That is, because deity worship is part of those five. And then within the deity worship, you're basically doing all of them, because all of the things means the other four. Right? Deity worship is complete when you're doing the other four. Right? When you're chanting, you hear the Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and residing in the Dham, worshipping the Dham. Then the deity worship becomes complete. Right? Otherwise, it doesn't so much. So in that way, all devotees can take full advantage. But just they have to know what it is. Most think the book is just, you know, full of all kinds of ritual and this. It's mostly philosophy and understanding what you're doing. And the purpose of the mantras and the ritual is to reinforce that. So if we have that understanding, then the whole thing of deity worship becomes very easy and natural. You know? And we take part in it, and how much is our nature. Like that. Whatever is of service to that degree will take part.
When you offer from these remnants, prasadam and tulsi and chalanta, when you offer first to Guru and Sangha, when should you offer to tulsi day? Before that or after that? Or?
Generally after that. Okay. We take it to the Guru because it's from here that we're getting to the worship. So like that, so whatever we have first goes to him, and then from there it goes out. It's just, one may say, well, how can you worship the Guru before all these other? It's just the rule. It's just like when you do a yajna, and after that you have the dot, the first one it has to go to is whoever is the head of the yajna. Right? Is either if it's the hotri, the person offering the oblations, he's the first one to get the dot. And if there's an acharya there who's overseeing it, he's the first one to get it. Then after that, it goes to whoever's there. It doesn't matter if the emperor is there, Lord Brahma is there, it doesn't matter who's there, they get first. That's just the rule. Because that is, everyone's come to take part in this, everything's gone through this person. Like that. So that's, you understand? So that principle is worked in there. So we always see everything goes back to Guru. Like that. So it's a very essential principle. And after that, then you can start considering who all from the hierarchy. You know? Either by tattva or by rasa or by, you know, like this, you know? Like that, or position in the material world. Position, the spiritual, you know, like this. Then you start bringing in all these different aspects of that. But otherwise, first it goes to Guru. You know, like in the Vrindavan, many times we go Guru, then we go to Purnamasi, then that. That'd be in the other book, I think. You'll see that. You know, like that. First we go to Guru, then Purnamasi, I think, then the Gopis, and then Shoda, I think. You'll see that. First we bring to Guru. Here, and we'll do the putting the Lord to rest tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.